right, fantastic. You got a Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, okay? Revelation chapter 6, and we'll be there in just a minute. And hey, I also want to tell you, obviously, it's kind of neat. This particular service has been going. It's been through several transitions for 10 years, which is really pretty neat. And it's gone through several transitions, as Tim shared. And I remember one of the great thoughts in my own heart was me being able to be live in here, as opposed to it being somewhere where there was usually a delay. And okay, now how are we going to make it happen when he comes up on the screen? You know, I tried to run down there and say hello to everybody. So that happened a handful of years ago. But it's pretty exciting. Okay, I'm going to jump right in today. I'm already tell you we're going to run out of time from last night. Last night we ran out of time. And hey, by the way, let me tell you this too. It was really a lot of fun. This past Wednesday, we did our first kind of what I call overflow. That is what I can't cover during this time. We're going to do on Wednesday nights. And wow, we had obviously a fantastic, great attendance, but we had a great time in there looking at things. It's a little more relaxed and there Wednesday night. So if you wanted to come, if there's other special about tonight that you'd like to hear more of, for about the next 3 or 4 weeks on a Wednesday night, I'm going to do kind of overflow and cover those things that I just can't cover. We just don't have time to cover in here. So, all right. So let me kind of give you a little bit of where we've been, kind of thoughts of just, again, I'm going to go through this a lot quicker. Let me tell you this, though. If you'd like to know about anything I'm going to be sharing in the next 90 seconds, you can just buy the CD of last week. I think they may be online. Go online if you'd like to listen to them, whichever you would like to do. But there's just no way for me doing recaps of where we've been is just not possible if we want to cover what we want to cover today. Now, but let me just share with you the whole thought of this series. The end comes from the scriptures, and if you will, the curiosity that goes with it. There's a curiosity in our world today. Now, as I've shared with you, believers down through the ages have always been interested in end times. Okay? They've always been interested in prophecy and all of those different things. But I want you to know that now the whole world around us, whether they're believers in Christ or not, are interested in, because they look around the world and they see things that are coming. They know things are coming. Therefore, with the ability technology-wise for us to communicate, and also with our weaponry technology, and I made the statement in the first week, hey, can you imagine what World War III is going to look like? And there was a groan go over the crowd. Everybody knows that something's coming. And so here becomes the picture. Here comes the picture. I'm here to tell you is the belief system that you have. If you believe there is no God and this is all just some sort of random thing, I'm here to tell you, you have reason to be frightened. You have reason to be scared, because we are going to annihilate ourselves. If there's nobody else higher in control, we will annihilate ourselves. Everybody knows that. There isn't a person in the room that wouldn't believe that, you know. Because this issue is, I'd be frightened if I were you. But so when you come down to this piece, this is interesting. We understand that, obviously, that there is a plan behind it, and God has got some things he's doing. People are interested. Even people who aren't believers are interested. That's why you see these specials on TV about Armageddon and Revelation. I mean, isn't it interesting? It's amazing to me, because it's never really happened like that before. And let me tell you why. Because about from 1970, 60s, 70s, and below, all of the writers looked at the book of Revelation and all this stuff as just fantasy. Oh, that can't happen, that can't happen, that can't happen. But now, with the way things have advanced, nobody's laughing anymore. It's not looked at as fantasy. You'll see in just a minute some of those things. Okay, so we've been walking through the series, right? First week, we talked about kind of signs of the times. What is it going to look like as it gets closer? And then the second week, we talked about the rapture of the church, and what is that, and how does that look? And let me tell you what I'd encourage you to pick up, because there's this incredible picture of God removing believers that are what's called the church. Now, remember this. When I say the church, I'm not talking about denominations, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist. I'm talking about believers. Because I believe that in all denominations, there are believers and there aren't believers. There are lots of people who are members of churches who are not believers in Christ. They may be religious. They may go to church. The scriptures are very clear that there are many. So I'm not worried about those. But when I mention the word church, here's what I want you to think, because there's so much baggage that goes with church. All right. The word church is basically the term that refers to people who are believers, true believers in Christ. Okay? So that's when I say the word church, I'm not talking about this church, denominations, that's what I mean. Okay? So there's this picture then, because as we looked at last week, during this tribulation time, the church is never mentioned. It doesn't have a job. And in fact, you'll see here in a minute, the job that the church is doing is going to be taken over by another group of people. You'll see it in just a minute. That's why I believe the church won't be here. All right? And so that's the picture we talked about with the rapture. And then we talked about being prepared. That was really a cool week. And then last week was tribulation part one. This is tribulation part two. And basically what I'm sharing with you today is just a continuation of what I shared with you last week. Now, here we go. A little more recap, and then we've got to get right into it. Okay, we talked about last week, we looked at this big picture that God has been saying. I'm here to tell you that the tribulation is a time period where it's going to get really intense. Really intense. And it's a 7-year time frame. Now, I know last week I heard from several of you that kind of went over my head. And I understand those things. But I have a passion for people to look at these, because as I shared with you last week, you don't have to know all this stuff to be a believer. Right? Basically, I know some of you will say, hey, listen, I don't have to know all that. Listen, I'm following the guy who's in charge. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going. God bless you, that's fine. But there is an element that the scripture teaches. As we grow in our faith and trust of him, it means that we must grow in our knowledge of who he is. All right, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Therefore, one of the great reasons for me doing this series is for us to grow in the understanding of who God is, not only what he's done for us in our past, forgiveness, not only what he's done for us in our present, in our everyday lives now as they're happening, but also the future that is secure. There's something you need to know that bolsters your trust and faith in him, and that faith grows. That is what God wants for you. That is what God wants for me, is for us to grow in our knowledge and in our faith of who he is. So that's another reason that just keep hanging on. If some of this, if you're brand new and some of this is going, wow, 70 weeks and 409 years, help me out, Jeff. All right, that was last week. We talked about that. But Daniel gives us one of the great pictures, understandings of the book of Revelation. There were 69 weeks, we talked about it last week, that was going to begin with the with the word, the decree that went out that Jerusalem could be rebuilt. And then those 483 years, 69 weeks, a lot of things were going to happen. That was all found in Daniel. You can read about it. We're not going to recover it. All right, but that's what we talked about last week. The 70th week. Now, Jeff, what? I wasn't here last week. 70 weeks? Well, there's 70 weeks of years. Okay, so 1 week of years is 7 years. So 70 weeks of years is 490 years. And Daniel said that this is going to be the time frame, and it matched up perfectly. We talked about that last week. Can't do it anymore here. You can go online if you'd like to or get a CD after the service. So that's one of the things. But just so you know, that kind of hurts my heart, because I hate it, because I know people that weren't here last week are going, what? There's no way to do all this in one message. Okay, you're seeing I'm trying, and I'm going way over in most of the services. All right, but again, I need you. If you weren't here last week, I need you to pick that up or go online and pick that up so you can see all of what I'm talking about together in this thing. So at 69 weeks, it says a lot's going to happen, you know, and eventually after that, the Messiah would come. Daniel wrote 500 years before Jesus was born. He's saying the Messiah was going to come and that he was going to be cut off. And it's just an amazing, it also predicts the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD. But there's this pause between the 69th year and the 69th week and the 70th. And that pause is where we are now. It's been a long pause. But this is where the church age came in. This is where Jesus says, I'll build my church. This is this picture, okay, of the job that the church has been given to go out and to share the gospel with the Gentiles and to all the world, right? With all nations. Now, and so this is happening. And this has continued to happen. All right? But then there's coming a time with this what's called the 70th week, the last week of Daniel. And it's what the whole book of Revelation is about. It's this week, well, not the whole book, but the most of the book of Revelation is about this final week, this final 7 years of tribulation. Okay, so we set it up last week. We're going to talk about what happens during this week today. Okay? Now, what does this week look like? First of all, how does this week begin? Okay? Well, this week begins with this covenant or agreement between the Antichrist, we'll talk about that in a minute, and Jerusalem. All right, and Israel, the nation of Israel. And then it goes all the way through until the Battle of Armageddon. And then eventually the second coming of Christ, all right? And there's this 7 weeks. Now, let me tell you this. This 7 years. And literally, people used to laugh. I mean, I've read old ancient writings that are still in print. They still let us see. And they used to laugh at the concept of the world being able to do this in 7 years. 3.5 and 3.5, which we'll talk about in a minute. Let's do this. Interesting. Guys, there isn't a person in the room. There isn't a person in the room that hasn't seen warfare happen and the lightning speed of which it can happen. See, back at the time in which all this stuff was written, there ain't any way. I mean, it takes you a year to get to some of these places. If you got an army with you of, 100,000 or whatever, it'd take you 6 months to, travel a few hundred miles. They'd get you there in a day today. And so these predictions in the book of Revelation were not even possible even 100 years ago. And yet this was written 2,000 years ago. So they laughed down through the centuries of this all couldn't happen in 7 years. Well, then there's nobody laughing today. I can't tell you how incredible and how incredibly current 2,000-year-old document that is sharing things that you're like, wow, that's a little spooky. That they would write and put that about what this looks like. Now, all right, hang with me if you're saying, Jeff, I'm not following you. You're going to in a minute if you'll keep hanging with me. All right? And so that was number one was an overview we looked at. Number two, okay, which is where we're going to begin today, is what I'm going to call key personalities. Okay? Key people or key personalities in this week. Okay, number one was the overview. That was last week. That's all what we did last week. Okay? That was tribulation part one. And then tribulation part two has to do with point number two, which is just this key personalities. What's going to happen during this 7 years? Okay? And how will we know when it's going to begin? Okay, now this is where a lot of the stuff that you hear, people hear bits and pieces and they grasp onto things. And so I want to go ahead and jump into just the personalities first, because when you start to understand what the Bible means and what it really teaches, not what other people say about it, but what does the Bible really teach about these particular people, personalities, characters, however you want to say it, is that they fit within this time. And once you understand who they are, it begins to make a lot of sense. First guy I want to talk about is a guy that the Bible terms, we're just going to call it Antichrist, because it seems to be the most popular designation for this. Now, Antichrist, remember this, it's a Greek word, the word Christ, which means Messiah, okay? Anti means in opposition to or against. So basically, this is one who's in opposition to Christ or the Messiah, okay? That's all it means. All right, there's only one time in the Bible that this is used, this term Antichrist. It's not even the book of Revelation. It's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. That is the only time in the Bible that the word Antichrist is used. But I want you to know there are other names, okay? These are just things that will help you if you'd like to read and say, oh, so that's what it's referring to. There are other names in the Bible referring to this individual. Okay? There's Antichrist. There's man of lawlessness. Okay? That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He's known as the beast in Revelation, right? 13, 17. Okay? You can look some of those up later. And you have to remember that Revelation is a book that is symbolic. It has people that stand for things. He is not an actual beast. Okay? All right? And you'll see it in just a minute as the different things. It's just like someone refers to something as a dragon or something having 10 heads. It's usually symbolic of not a head, but a nation. And therefore, there are 10 heads with 10 crowns. So you have basically what it means. You have this big beast that has 10 heads, but it doesn't have it. What it means is you have this particular thing, this gathering, if you will, these 10 nations that are all together in one beast, right? One animal. And so basically the picture is you have this confederation of 10 nations. Okay, so it's symbolic. This 10-headed beast is symbolic of a confederation of 10 nations. So it's symbolic in its way. And that's what loses most people. Okay? All right, but let's continue to take a look at this Antichrist. So he's also known as the man of laws, known as the beast. In Daniel, he's known as the little horn. Okay? I just like you to know that so that when you read along, there's this particular person. Okay? Let me talk about him just for a little bit. Now, most of the time, all right, in the horror movies, he's this evil guy, right? And, you know, you lift up the back of his hair, you know, and he's branded with 666, right? You know, and he's got this, you know, kind of evil. And that's the horror movies. And then rock bands make a big deal out of it, you know, as they try to be bad, big and bad and evil and all that. But I want you to know the real person, okay? The real Antichrist in here is not like that at all, okay? All right? My hair's sticking up after I did that. He's not like that at all. In fact, he's going to be a very charismatic person. In fact, to be honest, what I think he's what the world's longing to have. Somebody that's got some answers to all the problems. And he's going to have those answers. So he's going to be a charismatic. He's going to be a great orator. That is, he's going to be able to speak and motivate people. Okay? He's also going to be able to come up with some incredible answers to some of the world's most difficult problems. He is going to bring incredible peace, especially as the scripture says. Now, I'm not going to be able to look at every verse. I'm going to give you verses. If you want to write them down, look at them later. But there's a 7-year period. But you have to remember, for 3.5 years, I mean, he's going to bring peace to the world. That's not what most people see. I believe that this guy is going to win the Nobel Peace Prize. It's my personal opinion. Okay? Because he's going to be able to bring people together like no one's ever been able to. So he's going to be charismatic, and he's going to be a great leader. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to also have incredible intelligence about economic woes and how to make the economy better. I'm here to tell you, you can, in our country, you can be the worst charactered person in the world. I mean, you can be immoral, a liar, whatever you want to be. But we'll elect you president. If you can make the economy do well. Isn't that incredible? And I'm here to tell you, I believe part of what's going to be the rise of this Antichrist is he's going to be able to bring some maybe prosperity to areas of the world that hadn't had it. I tell you what, you want to be popular, just do that. And so this guy is not going to, I mean, everybody would look and say, oh, finally, we got a leader who can do this. So he's going to be able to do those things, kind of on an unprecedented level. In fact, just so you remember, one of the great prototypes of an Antichrist, believe it or not, was Hitler. Most people thought he might have been, and it makes sense. He turned on the Jews and all the different things. He was some kind of evil guy. But if any of you have read your history, he started off pretty well. I mean, what did he do with the economy of Germany? I mean, they were in the depths of depression. And he started all the programs, built the road system, the Autobahn. I mean, and then prosperity began to grow in that country. And then they handed him the keys of everything. And when they handed him the keys of everything, that's when it got bad. Okay? So I think it's going to be a similar picture. Okay? But it's just going to be on a much bigger scale. Okay? It's going to be a much bigger scale. When you talk about this, I don't know, this Antichrist, okay, and being a man of great ability. Now, he's going to have, take a look, there's just no way to look at it, but look at Revelation chapter 6, okay? If you want to take notes, you're not going to see some of these notes on the screen, but if you want to follow along with some of the more detailed notes I have, there's going to be several things he's going to do. Number one, he's going to be a conqueror. Now, I've got just a little bit of time to share this, but he is going to be able to conquer in such a way that it's going to bring him prestige. It's kind of like Hitler did, you know. If any of you know your history, Hitler was able to conquer several countries around him without ever having to fire a shot. If you know your history, Austria and some of those other ones, he was just able to incorporate them. Okay? And I think there's going to be a picture of that. There is going to be some conquering, actual battle conquering. All right? But most of it, I think, is just going to be, hey, we've got a growing economy here. Would you just like to merge with us? You know, and people that are in poverty and whatever, like, yeah, we'll give you the keys to everything. All right? And this is Jeff talking here, some of this piece. It's just, I think that's how it's going to look. But let's look at a couple of passages of this. Again, we're talking about this major player in the book of Revelation, during this tribulation. His name is we refer to him as the Antichrist. All right, let's continue. Let's read about it. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. Chapter 6, verse 2. Now, as you see the word white horse, if you like writing in your Bible, underline that phrase white horse. Because who is the one that has always kind of been identified as being the one on the white horse? Christ. In fact, in Christ's second coming, we'll talk about all of that next week. Next week is all about Christ's second coming. Okay? That'll all be next week. And, gosh, I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you because so much of it adds up with Noah and different things. And you're going to see a lot of cool stuff next week. But his second coming. Okay? But so, therefore, I just want you to underline that phrase because I want you to see that this Antichrist is going to try to identify himself as the Messiah. But not like you would think. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't know how he's going to be able to do it, but he's going to be clever. And again, this symbolic of coming on a white horse, this particular picture, when you put them all together, what does that mean? He's going to come in as someone that seems to have great abilities. Look at what it says. Its rider has a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. All right? A couple of things I want you to see else about him, all right? Daniel chapter 7. Just look at the screens here. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn. Here we go, a little horn. It's the same guy. Let's continue to read. Before which three of the first horns were plucked up by its roots. Okay? Three, are we ready for this? Of the first horns were plucked up by roots. So there's this picture that he was given a crown, and that he was able to conquer three other countries. Okay, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Again, you'll just have to listen to him and say, I'm not following you. You're going to follow me if you'll listen. Okay? If you're already lost, just go back to sleep. You'll be fine. All right? And we'll wake you up at the end. But if you're still with me, just keep hanging on, and you'll see as I kind of tie it in later. So he'll be able to conquer three. And as you'll see in a minute, after those three, he'll be able to acquire seven others. Okay? Let's read just a little bit more. Take a look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. Just look at the screens. And then about the ten horns that were on his head. Okay? So he went from one horn with a crown on it to plucking up three others and then to adding enough to add up to ten. Okay? So we're talking about, this is all symbolic language, but we're talking about a guy that is somehow going to confederate 10 countries, 10 European countries. Most people believe it's the old Roman Empire. And I think there's sufficient evidence to think that. But that, again, that's kind of presupposition. But because you're going to see where this guy comes from. And you're going to see this guy rise to power. And he's going to have this. In fact, I think personally you're seeing some of it already. You know, with kind of the pictures of these nations growing together. A lot of them are using the same currency now. If you remember, if some of you are into those things, keep up with those things. So, you see it setting up as it heads that direction. And it makes sense, okay, when you take a look at it. So there will be this confederation of these ten. Now, there's part of it that I'm just going to have to tell you about, all right? After one of the kickoffs, see, I think a lot of what we're talking about here could happen before the tribulation begins. Because what the scripture says, when the clock starts for this 7 years to begin, is when this beast, if you will, Antichrist, but you have to get out of your mind that, you know, there's like Beauty and the Beast, you know, that it's not that guy. This guy will be powerful, and he will. What starts the 7 years, if you'll remember, we talked about this last week. What starts the 7 years is when he enters a covenant with the nation of Israel, guaranteeing their safety amidst all of this. And Israel will jump at the chance with this treaty or covenant between the two. So Israel will trust this guy at first. And for 3.5 years, they'll be fine. And I don't know how this guy's going to wrangle this Antichrist. But somehow he's going to allow the Jews to rebuild their temple. I mean, you're talking about a feat. If you know anything about that area, how in the way is this Antichrist going to be able to allow the Jewish people to rebuild that temple? Because you know what's got to come down. If they rebuild the temple, if any of you know what I'm talking about, it's that Dome of the Rock, that Muslim shrine, the second most holy shrine in Islam. But it's going to happen. And they're going to enter into, with the nation of Israel, this pact, and then the clock begins. And it says that the temple's going to be rebuilt, and that actually Israel, the Jews, are going to, especially some of the most Orthodox, are going to begin sacrifices again. Because it has to be because of the abomination of desolation that Daniel talked about. We talked about it a little bit last week, which we're probably not going to get to today. So that's again, as you put all these things together, that's what you begin to think about and what you begin to see. And so the clock begins when that begins. Therefore, I think a lot of this stuff will happen up before the actual tribulation starts. Okay? And I don't know why this is the beginning of 7 years. But my brain works this way. This just helps you. All right? My brain is figuring, okay, this is the beginning of the 7 years, this is the end of the 8 years, and so that's why I keep pointing at this, right? It's just my brain. It's the ADD mind that needs something to see. Okay, here we go. So as you take a look at these 7 years, it begins with that. And the nation of Israel, because I told you last week, this whole tribulation, one of the main purposes of the tribulation is the salvation of the Jewish people. It's plain and simple. The Bible says more about the tribulation than any other thing other than the birth, death of the Messiah. Okay? The tribulation is brought up in most every prophetic book these 7 years. And it all has to do with a trying time, a troublesome time, but ultimate cleansing time for the Jewish people. That's why, everybody else is not even mentioned. That's why I believe the church is not even here during it. As we talked about during the rapture of the church. The church was something that was totally different. All right? But when this happens, this is what the look is going to be. Now, guys, I know if you can just imagine this piece. This is why critics laughed at the Bible down through the centuries. Can you imagine why critics would laugh at the Bible down through the centuries? Well, because there was no nation of Israel. From 70 A.D. to 1948, there was no nation of Israel. So all of these prophecies that have to do with the nation of Israel and that you're going to have your land and that you're going to rebuild the temple, everybody laughed. I mean, for 400 years, the Turks controlled the area. And they were Muslim. There ain't no way that they're going to allow Israel. But do you know, we talked about this last week, through a series of events and the Holocaust at World War II, it gave the sympathy for Britain to return the land, because the Jewish people says, we can't live in all these other countries. They hate us. We need to get in our own land. And so Britain gave them the Holy Land back. And all of a sudden, all this stuff begins to make sense that didn't make sense. Isn't that amazing? I just want you to see it. These are just not random statements in the Bible of what this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You see it backed up down to the ages, because there's never been another nation that has been conquered in, 1,800 years. And then after 1,800 years, they can reconquer and reconstitute and become a nation. It's never happened before. It's just an amazing thing when you put it all together. Okay, we got to move on. So that's what this Antichrist is going to do. Okay, he's number one, he's going to be a conqueror. Number two, don't miss this piece. He's going to be mortally wounded at the halfway point. 3.5 years. There's going to be these 3.5 years of peace where a lot of cool things are going to happen. In fact, during the first 3.5 years, you won't even think about that there is a tribulation. You'll say, this is the greatest time in the history of man. There's a lot of peace going on. There's very few wars. Growth. People can do things. I mean, during this first 3.5, but then something's going to happen in this middle. Is that this Antichrist, this great world leader, is going to have a mortal wound. And it's going to be basically a military wound. Therefore, most believe it's called the sword, so that it's not just an accident. It's something that happened. Most people believe an assassinational attempt will happen, which always happens when anybody gets popular and starts leading. And so then there's going to be this assassination. I mean, he's going to have a mortal wound. In other words, it's going to be such a wound that there's no way he can survive. Okay? Just so you see it, let's read a little bit about it. In Revelation chapter... let me look back over here. In Revelation chapter 13 now. And look at verse 3. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. And one of its heads, look at this, seemed to have a mortal wound. But its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth, here we go, marveled as they followed the beast. Question. How can the whole earth marvel at something? Well, see, everybody in the room understands how the whole earth can marvel at something. But guys, even 50 years ago, how could the whole earth marvel at anything? But now, all you got to do is do a couple of double clicks, and you can watch something live. So all this is going to be all, the whole world's going to marvel at this thing. Because of what happened to him, and then his ability to come back from it. Let me give you a couple other verses, just so you see it. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence. This is the false prophet we'll talk about in a minute, but I want you to see something. And he makes the earth and its inhabitants, here we go, to worship the first beast. So you're seeing a little bit about what the false prophet did. We'll talk about it in a minute. Here we go. Whose mortal wound was healed. Chapter 13, verse 14. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. So we have this incredible picture then. And I'm about to share with you something I don't want you to miss. We got this incredible picture then of this guy. And it looks like, I mean, he's dead. Mortal wound. But he's able to come back from it. And you got this false prophet, which we'll talk about in just a minute. We just read about him. He'll start sharing with everybody after he's healed from it. That's why it's in the middle. And that's why it's chaotic for the rest of the time of this 3.5 years. And so you got this guy has a mortal wound, but he comes back from it. And it's almost like it's a mock Christ, or if it's a mock resurrection, if you're following along with me. Because then after this false prophet's going to present him as the guy, to be worshipped, And, I was amazed when, when our guys liberated Iraq, or quote, liberated Iraq, and is, driving through, and they were showing pictures. They were showing pictures of different towns. You couldn't go 100 feet without seeing a picture of Saddam Hussein. Y'all remember it? You couldn't go another 100 feet without seeing a statue he put up of himself. He basically made the whole country, you know, worship who he was. Well, after this happens, people are going to fall for the lie. Okay? Now, don't miss this. So you got this false prophet that's going around sharing with everybody who he is and that he ought to be adored, if you will, worshipped. So you have this even mock Trinity, right? Don't miss this. You have this God the Father, and then you have this anti-father, if you will, Satan himself. And then you have God the Son, who's called Christ, and then you have this Antichrist. And then you have God the Holy Spirit, this Trinity, and then you have this false prophet whose job is to share with the hearts around the world the truth about who Christ is. And this false prophet's job with this, you'll see it in just a minute. And so you have this on because Satan, from his very foundation, his desire is to rise to the point to be worshipped or to be God, if you will. Therefore, his deception has to do with imitation. Imitation of what is real. It's always been the facade. Who did Jesus have his harshest criticism for? Jesus had his harshest criticism for Pharisees because they were a facade and not the real thing. They were just a deception. What is a facade? A facade is a false front that hides what's behind. Therefore, Jesus hated hypocrisy. I think more than anything else, those who present themselves as something, but they're not. It's what here, this great deception here of the Antichrist, is to present himself as something that he is not. But as long as people believe it, as long as it looks like it's true, so it has this picture of one who delivers Israel, right? I mean, he's given 3.5 years of Israel, I mean, giving them, letting them rebuild their temple and all these things, and he's come to the point where he's had this mortal wound, right? And it looks like he's resurrected from it, and they're all marveling at him. And so you have this false prophet, which we'll talk about in a minute. He's going around. So you have this whole picture of this great lie and great deception. Interesting, is it not? When you begin to see kind of what this looks like during this time. All right? So number one, he's the conqueror. All right? Number two, he'll be mortally wounded. Number three, he will eventually achieve what so many despots in times past have never achieved. He will actually have, for a while, world leadership. Let's see what the scripture says. Take a look at chapter 13, verse 5. It says in chapter 13, verse 5. All right. It says here that, and actually, let's take a look down 13, verse 5. Yes, that's it. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise for 42 months. Now, how long is 42 months? 3.5 years. So after this time, after the mortal wound, after all that, he's going to be able to have some real power. Not just these 10 nations, but even bigger than that. Let's take a look at it. All right, continue to read. Verse 6, and it opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war with the saints and to conquer them. Right? So there will actually be believers at the time that he'll be given the power to overcome. Continue to read. And authority was given him, or it, over every tribe and people and nation and language. And language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name is not written before the foundation of the world in the book of life, the Lamb who was slain. So there's going to be, he's going to have some real rule, but that's when it's going to get crazy. That's when it's going to get really nuts. Okay? That's when, and again, we just don't have time to talk about it, but that's when, imagine, Jewish people, and the abomination of desolation is when he starts trying to present himself as the one to be worshipped. This false prophet's come up with this new religion, and this harlot, this prostitute church, will jump right on board. Okay? And there's no time for us to talk about it. We may have to cover that on a Wednesday night. And it'll all be together with this false prophet and this church that says one thing but does others and all this. So you just have this big thing going on. And then, you know, when he sets this up, the abomination of desolation is when the beast himself, the Antichrist, sets up his own image in the temple. So therefore, in order this, for it to happen, the temple has to exist, and it does not exist yet. Interesting, isn't it? Now, as you see it all fit together. So when you put this and see this, you know what the Jews are going to do. Okay? The Jews are going to do what the Jews always do. Absolutely not. And so it's going to cause a huge persecution to come upon the Jewish people. That makes sense. They have not or ever have bowed down to idols or any other picture or graven images. Down through their history. Amazing people. And so this, it's going to cause amazing devastation. Now, eventually, there's no way to cover all this, but we'll maybe do some on Wednesday night. I mean, there's seven seals in the Revelation. There's trumpets that announce different things. There's bowls or vials of wrath. And again, they're all symbolic. They all mean different things, but there's just no way to cover it all in one service. Now, a couple other things that I want to say. Number four is that this Antichrist will eventually be defeated by Christ. And this is at the second coming. And this is what we're going to talk about next week. If you want to read about it, it's found in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. Okay? And he talks about, let's just read verse 2. For his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute. That's the one I told you, the harlot church that was connected with this whole thing. They're the ones that can easily be led astray. Okay, that obviously don't have solid foundations. A lot of people have tried to guess who and what that church will be. I encourage you not to. Okay? Because it is not our place other than there will be one. Because it will be very religious in nature. This Antichrist will not be anti-religious. But he will be anti-Christ, anti-God. Okay? Continue to read what it says there. Who's corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged her on the blood of his servants. Okay? Now, so number one is the Antichrist. I'm going to have to move quickly here. Number two is the false prophet. I already told you a little bit about him, but let's read a little bit about him, okay, as we talk about him. The false prophet, he's going to be religious in nature. He's going to be incredibly, incredibly deceptive, and he's going to be the PR guy for this Antichrist. Let's read a little bit about him, right? False prophet. And I saw, chapter 16, verse 13, I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and here we go, out of the mouth of the false prophet. That shows you that who this is. He is another one. Talks about three unclean spirits like frogs. Very symbolic, but we'll talk about that maybe on a Wednesday. All right, continue to read. In chapter 19 and verse 20. All right. No, I'm sorry. We're going to have to skip that one. We just don't have time. Take a look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven, the earth in front of the people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth. So this is going to be a great lie, a great deception, continue to read, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. You see, that seems to be the, hey, you know, he was dead, but then he came back, so he's got to be something special. Becomes the selling message, all right? And it's very similar to the gospel message. Isn't that interesting? He was dead and he rose again. He was dead and he rose again. So you're going to have this mock picture. And many people will fall for it. Interesting. Continue to read. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak. And those who would not worship the image of the beast were to be killed. Okay? Interesting. Also, it causes both great and small, both rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked, here we go, on the right hand and the forehead. That no one, don't miss this, because I'm coming right back to it. It says, though, that no one could buy or sell unless he has the mark. And that is the beast, or the number of the name, the cause for wisdom. Let the one understand and calculate the number of the beast, for as the number of the man, it is 666. Now, remember this. Again, that's been in the horror movies, that's all the things. But remember this picture. What does it say this mark is? It says it's a number of 666. But remember this picture. This is not, you know, we're not talking about this picture of evil. No, this is economic in nature, right? Look at it. You couldn't buy or sell. So this is one of those economic control things. Therefore, if you have this, and they do away with the cash, which is already going to happen. Cash has just about become obsolete, let's face it. And then do away with the credit cards, which can be stolen. Right? And identity fraud. How do you do away with that? Well, just put it under the skin. Right? That makes perfect sense to me. You know, and if you don't have a right arm, then put it on your forehead, right? Because if you don't have your head, you're not alive anyway. So, right? And basically, I will be going out to eat after the service today. And basically, when I go through the line and I've got everything I want, all I have to do is just go, whoop, and then walk off with it. And therefore, you have this picture of being able to control nothing. So see, guys, this is not a mark of evil. This is a mark of control. You see what I'm saying? Which is going to be evil eventually. So you got these, between this Antichrist and then Satan, obviously, is the copy of God the Father. And then you got this all the way down, and you got this picture of this, what this 7 years is going to look like. Now remember, it's not going to be totally without God's word. I used to hear that when I was a kid. I'm just about to be done, but there's a couple of things I've got to throw at you as you walk out the door. Right? I remember being a little boy in some of these old churches, old style churches in Tennessee. You know, and the guy that was the special speaker, it was usually at revival time. If you don't know what that is, God bless you. But if you know what I'm talking about, there's a revival time. And what happened was they bring this guy, and he was usually as old as dirt. And he would scream at you for an hour. You know? And I remember it was usually during revival time. There was always an end times message, right? And he would just try to scare the hell out of you, basically. Does that make sense? And it worked most of the time. And as he screamed and yelled at you, he would say, well, and after the rapture, there'll be no more chance for anyone, you know? That's not the truth. That's not what the scriptures teach. All right? That was just one of those ploys for a revivalist, I guess. I don't know. Because I found out different. There's a group. Number three is the 144,000. There's a group in the book of Revelation of the 144,000, if you will, if you can imagine, Jewish men. It's found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And it talks about what they're going to do. And it talks about who they're going to be and whose seal they have in their life. I believe with all of my heart, as you read through this, you'll see that they're all Jewish. And that one of their greatest jobs is going to be to share the gospel with the world. I think especially to other Jewish people, but I think even to more so. Because as you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a lot of people come to know Christ during this period. That's why the revivalist wasn't always right. Now, I will tell you this, it will be much harder to become a believer, especially if you've been one that has heard the message and rejected it. Because the scripture teaches that a strong delusion will be sent and you will believe the lie. What is the lie? This deception we just talked about with this Antichrist, this false prophet, and then Satan himself. It will be such a great deception that Jesus said it could even fool the elect if it was possible. He won't let that happen, but it could. It's going to be that good. So you've got this incredible picture that during this time you got 144,000 Billy Grahams, if you will, Jewish Billy Grahams, heading around sharing the gospel. It's an absolute amazing thing. So it's not going to be without a message of the gospel. And there's going to be a lot of people, but you will notice you will be hunted down and you will be killed. Because there's also another section in the book of Revelation that talks about the martyrs who were slaughtered during the Great Tribulation. I'm here to tell you guys, just in the last decade, we haven't seen it in our country as per se, but the persecution of Christians around the world has never been more in the last 10 years than it has been in the last 150 years. It has been amazing. You just don't, maybe, unless you don't pay attention to it. But they are slaughtering Christians for the mere reason of just because they're believers. I mean, through nation after nation after nation right now. It just hasn't made it to this country yet. So when it comes down to it, you can see where it could all turn there just with the world we have around us. But these 144,000 are going to go and they're going to make a difference. And a lot of people are become believers. And then as this thing ends, It's going to end with this picture. I'm just about done. Okay. I told you I was going to go a few minutes over. All right. I got no hope. I had no hope to fit all this in. All right. Believe it or not, I just want to share this with you. This message that I'm sharing with you today, I was supposed to finish all of this last week with that one. Yeah, that shows you how out of touch I am. All right. But as we finish this one up, all right, last verse I want to share with you is in Matthew, okay, chapter 24 and verse 21. Matthew chapter, just look at the screens. Matthew 24, 21 and 22. All right. Can you put it up there? Yeah, I'm kind of skipping around there. Guys are looking for it. They'll find it in a minute. All right. There we go. This is Jesus talking, okay? This is Jesus talking about this tribulation time. He says, for then there will be great tribulation, in Matthew 24. All right, go ahead. Of which, or such as, has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no will ever be. In other words, it's going to be bad. And I'm here to tell you guys, with there only being two nuclear weapons ever used in the history of our country, imagine if there are 20, 30, or 40 used. You don't know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. And just because of the sheer power of the weaponry we have now, I think that's what Jesus is mentioning here. Such as has never happened and nor ever will happen again. Okay, continue to read. Verse 22. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would have survived. In other words, Jesus says, if I hadn't intervened, there wouldn't anybody have made it. You hear what he's saying? See, that didn't even seem possible 100 years ago, if you know anything about your history. But what we have now, it not only makes it possible, but it is what our world fears most. It is what those who don't have a faith in the Lord can't sleep at night. When they understand just the sheer devastation that could happen. Okay? Interesting. So it says there, would not be saved. All right. But obviously Jesus, for the sake of the elect, that is those who are believers, it's going to be cut short. In other words, it's going to end this final big battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is going to return at that time. Okay? Revelation 19. And we're going to talk about that next week. And there's so much amazing symbolism with the times of the days of Noah, the times of the coming of Christ. And a lot of people have confused the second coming with the rapture of the church. Do not confuse the two. This one's going to be much different. And this one's going to be one of those that Jesus says, if I hadn't returned when I returned, the world would have annihilated itself. That becomes this picture. Again, I say this to you as I close. I say this to you. Guys, some of this was not even possible from World War I and before. There's no way that the world could destroy itself. How could that happen? How in the world? And just in 7 years? That's not even World War I. I mean, gosh, they sat in trenches staring at one another for years. If you know anything about the war. How in the world can you just, in 7 years, it become that bad? Well, we know now how it can become that bad. So these things that everybody used to laugh at from the Bible all of a sudden become possible and even become plausible. Even they're having specials on television about them. Because they're starting to see this is not only fantasy, this could really happen. So as I put all this together and as we continue to close this series out over the next couple of weeks, we're going to pull these things together with a really pretty cool crescendo with Christ's second coming and then what's going to happen after that. In the week after, it's going to be pretty cool when we put it all together. But today we talk about this tough part, this last week and this week. And when we understand this, if you're a believer here today, take heart. Okay, take heart. And understand that no matter how chaotic it may get, the God that you serve is still in control. All right? And I'm going to trust Him. You don't have many choices, by the way. You can trust the government. Knock yourself out, man. But what do you trust today? What do you put your faith and your weight on? I'm going to put it in Christ. All right? I'm sure that's where mine is and that's where it's going to stay. And I tell you what, I don't lose sleep about that at night. Because I'm His, and as Paul would say, if I leave this world, so much the better. Right? So much the better. But if you're not a believer here today, I'm here to tell you this. Okay? People have asked, what's this world coming to eventually? It's coming to Jesus, right? Eventually, that's where it's coming. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not a believer here today, I'm here to tell you there's something that we put our faith and trust in. And what is it that you put your faith and trust in? Okay? Because I'm here to tell you that the most fearful people that I know, especially in the day in which we live, are people that don't even believe there's a God. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe there's a God, that means that everything is left up to us. And our track record's not good, and it's eventually going to happen. Therefore, we know, I know personally, I think it'd be foolish to believe there is no God. Just because of the creation, you have a creator, you have to. But that's another message for another time. But there's never been a time in your life you've become a believer and want to know what that means. If you don't, that's fine. But if you do, if you say, I want to know more of what it means. It's not about religion. It's not about denomination. It's not about church per se. It's about God's message to you. So if there's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Him, there'll be some pastors right here who would love to talk with you. All right, God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll close. And hey, I'm going to head back to the guest reception. And if you're a guest with us today, yeah, Tim, come on out and close this. If you're a guest today, please stop by and shake my hand. I'd love to get a chance to meet you. And remember, next week we're going to kind of heading toward the end of Christ's second coming, because there is quite a bit in the Scripture that teaches about that. All right, God bless you guys, and have a great Super Bowl Sunday. There are two groups of people on Super Bowl Sunday. There are those that watch the game, and there are those that watch the commercials. All right, I found that. That's why so many people watch. Really, I think just as many people watch for the commercials as they do the game. Anyway, God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon. All right, love you. And Tim closes.